Mics are live.
We are now reconvened for the administrative portion of the meeting. We have two items on consent. I move approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Do we have any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Mr. Chairman, if I could just congratulate Steve. One of those items on consent was a motion to hire and appoint you as executive secretary, and I've appreciated your work the last few months as kind of semi-unofficial but official interim, and look forward to your leadership in this role and all the work you're doing for the commission. Very much appreciate it.
Well, I very much appreciate the commission's faith in me, and hopefully it'll be well-founded. Thank you very much.
Yeah, absolutely. Congratulations, Steve. Do a fantastic job. You will do a fantastic job.
No, I will try.
Oh, fireworks. We might have to oblige. We have to move the venue, though.
All right. We have two items on discussion. The first is response to a complaint, Clyde Eisenbeis, Freedom Mine permit, and that would be Commissioner Christman. I think I'll defer to you. I've got Dean on here, but I'll let you handle it as you see fit.
Well, I will say, you know, one of the things when I came on the commission after years in the legislature and watching things here, it takes a while to figure out all the terminology of what's in a formal complaint or a formal hearing as opposed to an informal hearing as opposed to a work session or what. And yet there are legal reasons why these things follow a very specific track. And if done incorrectly, it can lead to appeals and delays and all kinds of problems. So even though it might seem sometimes overly detailed over using exact specific language, if we don't, we run into problems too. And so things have specific meanings, and we have to stay within the law and follow them. And so sometimes there's some confusion over what can be done informally as opposed to formally. When we have an informal hearing, for example, we would immediately cease the discussion and put out a notice and move to a formal if there are any disputed facts in place. So informals are usually dealing with just information that isn't under dispute. And, of course, the reason for that is then you would, if it's disputed facts, you need to get into a formal atmosphere where the other side or other sides, if that's the case, is able to participate and cross-examine and present evidence as well. And so we had this complaint or concern, or I guess the terminology is a little in flux in a couple places. Different terms are used, but I'm going to turn it over to Dean, our head of reclamation, as well as legal counsel Jack, and just explain where we are with the process.
Can I just throw one thing out here, too, just because, Randy, I appreciate your commenting on the terminology. It's super frustrating for citizens to have to figure out what is what when they just, like, have issues. Like, I don't care. Is it a complaint? Is it formal? Is it informal? Is it whatever? But we have, because everything that we do involves multiple parties, there are all these specific definitions of what's what. And I don't know a lot about this yet, but I do know enough to know that some of the confusion is deciding what's what and how to properly process this. So to the extent that we can be clear about the differences, the options that exist, and how we, and then always use the correct language and don't sometimes sub in a different term that could be interpreted as something else. I think we really need to be diligent about that as we move through this discussion and through this whole process, and just to help out, keep everybody, myself and you know, the complainant and everybody kind of on the same path. Thank you.
Well, on May 15th, Mr. Eisenbeiss submitted a formal citizen's complaint to both us and to the Office of Surface Mining. We're not treating it as a formal citizen's complaint because a formal citizen complaint is actually a legal proceeding against a commission. That's where we're served. I'm looking to Jack here.
It's a little bit different of... I think the term is formal citizen suit, and that's actually in civil court. Citizen suit. And that happens in civil court after they provide us notice, and we proceed according to that. There is a little bit of, well, you could see in, if you, I know you guys have all reviewed the filings that he's provided us diligently. He calls it a formal citizen complaint, which is similar. It made it a little bit confusing between a formal complaint and a citizen suit. Whether he's putting on notice of that. And then he cites the law, which would indicate, which it isn't absolutely 100% cut and dry, that he's asking for an informal review of the commission for the inaction on the matter. If you read through what he provided to us, you also see that the way he's is written indicates it's more of an informal review of staff. As you can see, he really focuses a lot on the staff's responses and discrepancies. And so even though he cited multiple different things in a number of different places, in the very initial, opening of what he provided to us, it cites that. So that seemed like the most appropriate route to go. And so in this response, I think that when I read through what Dean put together and the staff did as well, they just kind of explained there's a little bit of confusion. Here's where we feel that the process would be according to what you provided to us, because we can't go every avenue at once. And in the end, it's still...
So we're interpreting this as an informal review.
Yes, a commission's informal review of staff has done up to this point. And staff has already responded previously to Mr. Eisenbeiss's concerns in the past, and I don't think he feels that is satisfactory. And so staff has brought forward then this response to his most recent filing, and this is the opportunity for the commission to review this. And I know they drafted up and put together what they feel is an appropriate response for your review, and I know that you've a number of the commissioners have been involved in discussions with the staff as well throughout this process. Just to be clear along with this, for the response, in the last portion, it also says that it does not preclude any opportunity for Mr. Eisenbeiss to still continue to proceed with a formal complaint. We have a formal complaint process, and in fact, we will be attaching a document number 4 under the attachments, how to file a formal complaint. It has if you read that through, it says that it has the practice and procedure administrative rules for this, as well as the applicable law that he could cite, and he could come back, and if he feels the necessary, we could start a formal adjudicative process upon that filing. And then I think it'll be clear where we are, and I think it'll be clear for who has to respond to what and when. And in the meantime, since the process of which it seemed to have gone, this also Office of Surface and Mining has received a response as well. By providing an informal response, it allows them to ultimately review what we've done as well and give us a statement of agreement or saying maybe there's something else we should look at as well. Again, there are a number of processes, but the way he proceeded indicate to me that this the informal review, which gets sent then to OSM for an opportunity to look at it as well, is the appropriate place for us to be at this point in time. And he still is able to proceed with the formal complaint process under, I think, a 6902, the practice and procedure, which is, of course, going to be laid out in the filing a formal complaint publication that we'll provide to him. And it's fairly cut and dry, and it's made for the average citizen to be able to read and put together a complaint upon. And at that point, I think it'll be clear how to proceed.
Yeah, and that formal process provides the opportunity for him to provide and converse with us through the formal hearing.
Yes.
But then also the company. And that's the issue with informal conversations is, you know, as the decision makers, we can't just talk to one person. The company has to hear what's being said, and they have to have a chance to respond. And vice versa, we can't talk to the company. And and we, the decision makers, can't talk to the company and not have the complainant hear what's being said and have an opportunity to respond. So that's the purpose of the formality, correct?
That's correct.
And I just, that was my next point too, and so I want to kind of reemphasize that. Be assured, Mr. Eisenbeiss, that we are not, while in this informal part of the process, you know, not able to discuss it with you, we're also not calling up the mine and saying, well, what went on over here? You know, what's your opinion? We do not discuss it with any parties, just our staff, and then if a decision is made by a complainant to move forward with a formal process, it will be the same thing until we have the formal hearing, and then people will be able to make their cases, and oftentimes through an attorney to help navigate through that, because it is a legal process.
I think that's a really good point, and even when we're approaching something that we think could become, turn into a formal complaint, then it's not a lack of interest on the part of the commission, but as stated, that has to be, all parties have to be present. It has to be announced to the public, noticed to the public, because it's about transparency. So I think sometimes you get to that point where when we think this could turn into a case. And at that point, when you suspect it could possibly then the communication tends to cease from commissioners, but not from staff, which I know continued to work on it, and then we're kept abreast. But so it's not a lack of interest. Doesn't mean that we don't care. But also as a part of this process, and because I see you're ready to say something, this isn't a venue in which either party can speak. This is a venue just for the commissioners to talk amongst ourselves and then to talk with staff, but it's not a situation where we can take any input from either of you.
Just clarification. Am I allowed to participate in an informal discussion?
Not with us.
Defer to legal counsel.
It's hard for me to really give that answer without knowing exactly what you mean by informal discussion. Informal discussion outside of an actual proceeding, when we think that there's actually going to be a proceeding, that cannot be conducted between a party who would be possibly involved, whether it would be a person bringing a complaint or as well as the company or any other person who has some sort of concern in it in the meantime. However, the process will allow for an opportunity for each party to present what they believe is the case and the truth in the matter for the commissioners to review.
All right, thank you, Jack. So I don't know if we're with Randy or with Dean.
But in an informal hearing, if there are disputed facts, we would shut down the informal hearing and move to a formal.
Oh, I apologize.
And so if there is any kind of informal discussions, then that's more about bringing in some information. Well, here's the filings for this case or something. But once it becomes a disputed fact, it needs to be in a formal atmosphere where the other side is able to provide their side of the case as well as cross-examine, correct?
That is correct. That's how the commission has operated, and that allows everyone to be under oath and provide their statements under oath as well and build a record that's clear.
So in this case, which is by nature disputed facts, there would never be an informal hearing. We would never schedule one.
I think we would almost immediately wind up stopping it and moving to formal, because all the information has been submitted, or not all, but lots of it has to do with disputed facts. So.
Yeah.
So with that being said, at this level of looking at it as in an informal way, I'm comfortable with the letter being sent out as the response, the draft letter. But I think you mentioned, I just want to highlight that the explanation of how to proceed to a formal complaint will be attached to that, correct?
Commissioner, it will be attached. This will be attachment number 4, document titled Filing a Formal Complaint.
Good.
And I apologize, Dean. I know I kind of jumped in there. He's certainly much more steeped in the process. If I miss anything, feel free. Okay.
I mean, at this point, Jack, our allowing staff to go forward with this complaint doesn't say that we agree with everything the staff has done, does it?
Commissioner Fedorchak, by allowing us to go forward with this, it means that you agree with what's being provided here in this letter. So if you do need additional time to discuss it, we could set for.
I'm not saying I don't agree with, but I am trying to understand
sure.
the process myself, because in previous cases where we've had complaints, we were kind of neutral and staff had to prove to us that they did it and the others that they operated correctly and and make their case, and as did the complainant. So are we in a similar situation here?
How I think this would proceed is we wouldn't be staff bringing forward a complaint. This is essentially staff's decision not to bring forward a complaint up to this point.
Right.
You are administratively reviewing what the work has staff done and says that looks right.
Okay.
And that doesn't mean that there isn't an argument to be made and
yep.
it can't be provided. It's just our decision not to bring the complaint.
All right. Sounds good. Okay. Well, I know that time is of essence, but I really haven't had enough time to review all of this to give that level of support right now. I could do it after lunch if we wanted to take this matter up again briefly, or if Dean wants to walk through everything right now and use the time to kind of go through the question, just kind of summarize your response. But yeah, I haven't had a chance to go through your response to the complaint.
So you want me to?
How would you like to proceed, Randy?
Well, when you say after lunch, you know, we have an informal this
yeah,
afternoon.
After that is what I was thinking.
I'd be okay with right after that.
Okay. Do a little work session on this.
I think so.
Are we saying after the informal this afternoon?
That's what we're looking at.
I believe so. So why don't we just move that down to scheduling? That's.
We yeah, gonna do
but I'm session? Assuming we're talking 3:30 or 3:45.
The informal starts at 1:30.
Right. Goes to 3:30.
Decommissioning plans, costs, and financial assurance. Is that going to take 2 hours, Jack?
That's my. I didn't schedule that hearing. I believe that was Adam and Pat that scheduled that hearing. I'm not sure if it'll take that whole time.
Why don't we schedule this for 3:00, and then if we're not done, this will just get delayed a little bit.
Okay.
Although we'll do that officially on scheduling, I presume,
sure.
Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
There are only 2 cases attached to that for decommissioning, so I don't think it'll take 2 hours.
Right.
That's an assumption.
How long do you anticipate the discussion on this will take?
Half hour?
At least.
What
other questions you have?
Are you, what time do you have till? It sounds like you have to get out of here at some point.
I'll spend whatever time it takes.
Okay. Maybe just set it for an hour and we'll try to be as efficient as possible. It
okay.
might take a lot less than that.
Thank you.
I would like to be wrapped up by 3:30 if possible.
Okay.
So. All right. Then we will move on to the second one. We've completed the discussion on that. Is
yes.
that correct? And that's the UGPTI draft annual commodity traffic report. Conrad.
Yes, good morning, Commissioners. Very excited about what Upper Great Plains has been working on for the rail traffic report. I provided a memorandum and just another copy of what Dr. Tolliver provided to the Commission at our annual rail stakeholder meeting on the 29th of May. And he is looking for some feedback on that and what the Commission feels that if the report's lacking or kind of how to proceed a little bit forward with that. This report has been about a year in the making, working with Dr. Tolliver on and off with it. We've had quite a few requests over the past as far as, you know, people and other entities and agencies interested in knowing what rail traffic has gone through the state, what's originated, what's left, and having that type of tally. And until this draft report that Upper Great Plains has put together, we didn't have anything such as that, but a lot of this information, actually all of it, is derived from the annual reports that the Class 1s are required to file with the Commission every year based off their annual activity. So the data is already there. We're collecting that already. It's just now being able to be crunched and put to good use at that point. So there's three sections of the report that Dr. Tolliver put together. The first one deals with traffic originating and terminating in North Dakota. The second section deals with rail traffic originating and terminating within business economic areas or economic analysis regions, as he refers to, which this does incorporate some counties in Montana and Minnesota, but that's just the nature of the way these business economic regions are derived. But it does take that entire traffic, the total tons, and brings it to a little bit more of a granular level. And then additionally, in the third section, they put together some monthly variations specifically dealing with commodities and how those vary year over year, and you know, what are our high shipment times, what are the lower shipment times, and based on a commodity, which appears to be some helpful information. So some of the feedback that Dr. Tolliver is looking for is, part one is fairly easy to generate with the rail traffic reports that we currently get right now and can be put together. Part two does require a little bit more involvement of the research students and staff over at Upper Great Plains to put together. And so what he's wondering is if part one should be published independently, and then should parts two and three be available online with tables and figures listed separately. So kind of in a nutshell, should the report be condensed into one and then released at one point in time, or, you know, present the data as it's available? And then the third section is, right now one of our class ones is we're currently not getting the data that gives the traffic that just is transported through North Dakota. So we've got originating and terminating, but not necessarily what's just coming through on the lines. We're getting it from one, not the other. So I'll be working with that class one to get the additional information.
Which one is it?
It's Canadian Pacific. And we previously had a discussion probably about a year ago on getting that data as well from Canadian Pacific. So that shouldn't be an issue from their standpoint, but I'm going to work on getting it back, going back to 2007, so we can establish the archive at least going back that far, especially before pre-oil boom time frame, which oil traffic is one of those areas that a lot of entities and individuals are interested in looking at as far as rail traffic goes. So we'd like to try and capture a little bit of pre and then really hit the heart of that oil boom with the crude by rail time period that we had here in the state. So
good. I have questions. So isn't our involvement in this, as far as the data acquisition, center around the open records exception that's in the law, whereby we could collect that information and move it on to Upper Great Plains Transportation Institute, and it maintained confidentiality? And I thought that was in the section of law that was transferred to the Ag Commissioner's office. And so do we still have involvement in this, in the whole data acquisition and transference anymore after July?
Correct. Good question, Commissioner Christman. This is actually dealing with the rail side of the operations that the commission has, which does encompass, and the railroads do report on specific agricultural commodities in addition to other commodities that we have, and then the coal industry, energy industry, and things of that nature. The section, what you're referring to specifically under 6002.1 and 6002 is dealing with the specific amount of commodities that a elevator ships, where it goes to, or how much they purchase, which is confidential. The information that's filed and derived from the reports here is what's provided by the railroads themselves, which is not a confidential issue at all. It's in their annual reports. It's freely submitted to us. It's freely submitted to the NTSB as well. So they're while they're similar and they're related, they are separate in the sense that this is specifically just dealing with our rail side of our operations at the commission.
Well, it's tempting to say that I was just testing you, but now that you put it that way, I
we can go with that though. I
needed a refresher.
I'm glad I passed the test. So.
So do you want to? Do you guys want to look at this more and have a work session on it, or do you want to just delegate to Conrad and I to figure out how to use it? I guess I. For this and the previous issue, I like having stuff on work sessions, kind of like Calc, where we decide what we're going to do, but we don't spend a lot of time doing it. Like the previous issue, that to me should always go straight to a work session because that's a big deal, and we need time to talk through some stuff. It's not just a five-second discussion. So this, if you guys want to be involved, let's set a work session. If you don't want to be involved, then Conrad and I can evaluate it, see what we think needs to be done with it, talk with Denver, and make a proposal and bring it back.
I'd like a work session. I'd like to be involved.
Work session. Okay.
If somebody wants, I would be fine with you bringing a proposal, but I don't object to a work session. There probably is some good information to be.
Okay. So then we can dig into it a little bit more and contemplate who might be good audiences for that information and how. Go ahead.
What kind of time constraint are we under?
None. I mean, we've been waiting forever for this. So.
Yeah, it's been, I know he's very busy over there and gracefully really put together a nice report here. So ideally, I think it would be nice for us to provide a response to him. Maybe, I'd say by mid-July would be nice if we could get something back to him by then. But I understand that there is a lot of data in here to digest and just really take a look at how they presented it and see how the commission feels about it. Because overall, I think the intention would be to ensure that, we, through our webpage, eventually we can link to this data as well through the rail portion of our webpage. So citizens and other people that are, research students that are interested in grabbing this data have it easily accessible, not only through our website, but through Upper Great Plains as well.
We should invite Stacy to the work session too. So maybe we'll try to find something.
And possibly, would you be interested in seeing if Dr. Tolliver is available for the work session? If there's any specific questions or information he would be interested in providing or the commission would be interested in hearing?
I don't know if we need him to come all the way. He'll come here. That's the thing, if we ask him. Because he's...
That's the way he is.
Yeah.
I mean, I sure don't mind him being here, but I'm going to let...
I don't... Let's let just
you,
have
Conrad,
it be
determine whether you think it's...
Okay, well, what I can do is we can get our work session scheduled, and then I'll at least let him know that this is when we're going to discuss it. He's welcome to attend, but there's no requirement to attend. I'll just present it
that way,
if that's all right.
So are we moving this to scheduling as well?
We are.
Okay.
I wrote it down for under scheduling, so I think so. Okay. So I don't believe there are any other discussion matters. At this time, so we will go into scheduling. The first would be, of course, the Clyde Eisenbeis Freedom Mind complaint.
So 3:00 this afternoon?
Okay.
Yep.
Three? And what do we want to, in terms
of... Can we say 2:30 instead of recognizing that you want to be done by 3:30? And if it's unlikely that that other one is going to take with two cases longer, but if it does, it would be the same theory, like we'd have to push it, just start when we're done with this.
I think, well, Jack is gone, so...
Just leaves us a little bit more breathing space to 3:30 if you...
Okay.
I don't see those decommissioning... cases taken very long.
No, I don't either.
So you think
that's
we'll be wrapped
up in
an hour?
2:30 should be fine.
Close.
Okay, then let's go with 2:30 today on that. And then a work session on UGPTI.
Well, on the, it's really the...
Well, that's true.
Commodity traffic report.
Commodity traffic report. There we go.
So I'm out of town Tuesday and Wednesday of next week. And if you're wondering why those days are so clear for OMS.
I had planned to be out Thursday and Friday.
Mm-hmm. If I may make a suggestion, Commissioners, possibly the 26th, there's a blocked out for an informal after the commission meeting. That's nothing is scheduled at that point in time.
It's not a bad idea.
I like that. And then if we do take up the informal, we'll just slide it back that afternoon.
Okay. Sounds good.
So we'll,
what day did you say?
The 26th
of June. 1:30, it's when we have an informal scheduled. So we can put this into that time slot, and if we happen to need the informal, then we can just move it to a little later that afternoon.
Okay.
Okay, so we are 1:30, June 26th on that. And I don't believe, are there any other scheduling items that anyone has?
Not to my knowledge.
Do either of you have any objection on our way to Minot on Monday to... couple-minute delay and that I could just meet you at Washburn at the Cenex station?
I don't. I was thinking of rethinking our travel plans that day if we anticipate that being a long hearing. Do you think it... Do we?
Could be a long hearing.
Yeah, I mean...
Based on the almost 13-hour marathon we had.
I don't think it's going to be as long.
Well, they're doing that pre-filed testimony, so it should be better. I just worry about the potential for a 13-hour hearing and then driving to and from. I think this case could have been made for flying.
I think we're going to be done way earlier.
Okay. So you guys want to keep the travel plans the same? Okay.
I know you would probably. I would put the kibosh on. Beautiful Sunday evening out in the country.
Well, that aside, I don't know, this doesn't seem to have some of the same trademarks as the March 8th one.
Okay.
Doesn't seem to, but we just don't know anymore.
No.
I did not anticipate 13 hours at Bow Bells.
We should have given Randy a metal chair, taken away his other one, and made him use it. When he was reading, listening to those.
Well, we should actually have him start when he gets in at Washburn and then get the full effect all the way there and back. But in fairness, that's
at
what
Russo,
the public...
At you need to sit just as payback. You need to sit in a metal chair at Russo.
But in, in all fairness, the public, they were in metal chairs as well. So.
Exactly.
It's good enough for them. It's good enough
A little
for
more
us.
Free to leave and go to the cafe.
That's true. That's true. Okay, I don't think so. We're okay with picking, making a stop in Washburn to pick you up on Monday. Anything else?
I'd say a running stop.
Okay.
Test your agility.
Get it down to
okay. Apparently, there is nothing else, so we are adjourned.